I made a little intro for the show today.
Okay.
Closing main breaker.
And you know what that means, boys and girls.
It's time for the Tito
Show. All right. We have a man.
That thing is awesome.
That is fabulous. Oh, my God. Engineer Eric has done it again.
Had a little too much coffee yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, Jimmy Jones Show is here once again as we close in on Halloween.
I can't believe he went all the way over to the Kennedy Space Center and taped the launch.
Unbelievable. How'd you get clearance to do that? That's great.
His alter ego.
Now, we got fans there.
Oh, that's right. We do.
Right.
Oh, hello, Virginia Beach. Who the hell is in Virginia Beach?
I don't know.
Anyway. Anyway, here it is about the 27th or something of October. We've got EJ with us.
Afternoon, hello, good evening, EJ. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are.
Right, Curtis.
Hey.
Our erstwhile engineer, Eric.
That's right.
And Jimmy at jimmydone.com. Don't fail to send us your emails. We have a lot to talk about today. Great show today.
Yep.
Great show. Hopefully it won't be too long, but we got a lot to talk about. So forth. A lot of believe it or not, a lot of sex offender status.
Right.
But they're not allowed to buy costumes, right?
No. I mean, you know, can you imagine your costume as a sex offender as a flasher?
Oh my gosh, what if I go as a sex offender? Could that be cool?
That's it, man. That's
the new costume of the year. That'll be the sex offender costume.
Can we talk about at the end of the show? Of course, you start talking about that, you get shot.
Exactly.
That's the SWAT team shows up.
You know, actually, you could even have some theme music.
Well, yes, they call him the street. That's the thing on 2 feet.
That's perfect.
He's just as proud as he can be. His anatomy, he gonna give us
safety. Oh my God.
Oh, and the sex offender.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And this would be your boombox.
Oh, yeah, right.
And you're just running around, man.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, that seriously, for the band shell, I think you'd be able to pull that off.
Oh, no doubt.
You run through the pole beans naked.
Through the fruit section. Got stuck in the bananas. Yeah,
the fruit section, that's right.
He was all... All right, we're going to let it go until the end of the show. All right.
Yeah, we're gonna hold that to you, right?
Yeah,
you can see how well we held that to the end of the show.
Well, I'm holding mine.
Yeah, you're holding yours. Okay. That's good. Okay, Curtis. Well, listen. Okay, we're going to segue on to the hurricane.
Right.
There's some new things that have come up. You'd think the hurricanes are over, but of course we're they're not.
We're in Florida, no matter where you run. You can't get away from them.
What are these people thinking? It's like we live in Florida, and they're like whining a little bit here and there. But
well, the thing that, of course, we talked a little bit about the relief effort, which is kind of interesting, has to do, there's several aspects to that I want to mention. But we do here in Florida, of course, being a retirement state, we are covered with
retirees.
We used to be covered with a lot of mobile homes. Oof. Of course, a lot of, you know, hurricanes being the mobile home magnets that they are, or the mobile home parks being the hurricane magnets that they are, we've lost a few thousand homes. and they're in fact, they're still recovering. They still got a bunch of them from last year.
There's 500 of them out there just in Punta Gorda, 50 miles north where this one hit. Boy, it would have looked like a paper mache factory.
Well, of course, then here in Florida, They came down and immediately blamed Bush, our Bush, Jeb, for the hurricane, you know, as if he could have gone out there and stopped it or something.
Could have raised his arms and...
Well, King Canute.
He didn't pass a rule that
said... they should have passed a law against it.
That's what they failed to do.
Well, they looked at some of the damage, for instance, that was in Fort Lauderdale, interestingly enough. The thing ripped across the state here, and a lot of the damage was on the East Coast.
Yeah, well, that's where all the people are.
Right.
People don't realize it. That's why all the damage and why everybody's freaking out is because, really, that's where the people
are.
Well,
what they did find out, of course, was that virtually anything, almost anything that was built since 1992, which was Hurricane Andrew, has come under the new state code, and almost none of that stuff got hurt.
They're patting themselves on the back for that.
Well, my point is that, in fact, of all the states that get hurricanes, Florida has the stiffest code of all of them, and also has an evacuation program and a warning this and so forth. So, I mean, the damage that could have been done was minimal compared to what happened in New Orleans. And they still come out and say Bush sucks. You know, he could have fixed it and done something else or whatever.
No, but he's in the people are standing in line with their hands up for their free cases of
Evian
water.
Well, that's the other thing. That's right. That's the other thing. You go and of course the media is feeding this by when they ask questions. They don't ask what are you doing. They ask what's the government done for you lately.
Right.
And of course the answer is we haven't seen him around here. And of course that's what the soundbite is. We haven't seen him. Government. The headline is government
people
fails.
Say government hasn't been around.
You know, and you want that to happen the rest of the time in the year. You want the least amount of government around as possible. As soon as there's a problem, where's my government?
Yeah. Now you got to take care of yourself. Well. This is so, you know, again, if you live on the shore in Florida, you expect to get whomped up on, same as if you live below sea level in New Orleans. I'm sorry, it's going to flood.
Same as you live on a fault line in Los Angeles. I mean, it's just the way it is. At least
or
you
at
have
the base
some...
of an active volcano.
Thank you.
As the lava comes flooding down and burns your house out, you say,
Where's my new house?
Could I have a new one, please?
Yeah. You know? Mine got destroyed.
Yeah, and so could I please have the people
from Omaha,
Nebraska give me a new home? Or from Gainesville?
They wonder why the mobile homes are cheaper in Tornado Alley than... in other parts, you know.
It blows my mind that we've got all these lines down there and that nobody tries the free market solution.
Well, they have the government.
You mean price gouging?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Well,
they had
you were telling me that they had in Louisiana, they passed a wage cap or something like that?
Yeah, they actually issued an order which they called it wage protection. Of course. It protected the wage payers,
right?
Not the payees.
Right.
And so for the last 7 weeks, people over there have been working for under the market value.
Or not working.
Right.
Or leaving.
And the critics said...
And the stuff's not getting done.
The critics said, well, you can't raise the prices because that'll slow down construction.
Yeah. Unbelievable. No, it is unbelievable to me how people in the government, and this goes across the board, how they feel that they can, the market is not working and I personally will fix it. I will fix the market. I will fix what happens to 280 million people in the United States. I will show you the way.
I saw a line down there at a gas station all the way around the block. And there was one guy who was sitting there with about 10 5-gallon gas cans. He's filling them all up. Now, what does he need with 50 gallons worth of gas over the next week?
Oh, he's probably also doing it for some friends, neighbors, you know, and some
instances. Could have been.
So what?
Well, my point is this, though. If they allowed the price to go to $20 a gallon, you'd only get
really
the 5 gallons that you need
for
the week.
He'd have one 5-gallon can on it.
Right. Exactly.
That's right. That's
or
exactly
he'd
right.
have. The line would be shorter. Line would be quicker. And they wouldn't run out of gas. They've already said that the places that had power that opened up down there ran out of gas in 12 hours.
No, you're exactly right. The price mechanism actually it determines so quickly, instantaneously, and it communicates what something is worth. And of course, that has to do with this happens in so many places. They were doing a study along the same line. They did a study up in Washington D.C. It turns out that there are some parking places that are real near Reagan Airport. And when you park, it turns out those places are the ones next to the airport are always filled. And they were trying to figure out how do they allocate this stuff. And they asked an economics class, how would you allocate this? And they said, well, you know, we put up a sign or you get a 20-minute parking or half hour, whatever it is. And nobody came up with the solution, which was to charge more for that parking.
No, here's
the economics class. Nobody came up with it. But let me just finish here. Let me finish along this line, because the same thing is happening right here in River City, in Hogtown, with they are doing a sting operation for the tickets this weekend.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
I know.
What they're doing, it turns out that if you go to eBay, there are tickets
for
the Vandy game.
No,
Georgia, Florida. Excuse me, Georgia, Florida game.
Okay,
Vandy's next week, right? Georgia, Florida. They're on eBay. You can buy tickets to which are in hot demand for like $100 a ticket or something,
right?
And the police are getting on there and bidding. And if you go to sell the ticket, they get you for scalping and they arrest you and throw you in jail. I mean, here's somebody who wants to go to the game so badly and has the money and wants to go so badly. They're willing to pay $100 and for that, it's a crime. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? How can that be a crime?
It's a crime because they can catch these people. You know, it's a crime because it's easier to catch them than it is to catch the drug dealers or the prostitutes.
Well, it's actually, it's easy to catch the drug dealer. One of the things, and just digress just for 1 second, I saw a thing the other day where they arrested some drug dealer after a 2-year investigation. You know, how about a 2-minute investigation?
Exactly.
I saw the guy on the street and I arrested him.
Everybody I've defended has been arrested in a 2-minute investigation.
Is that right?
Usually the police officer's standing there, and the guy comes up and says, hey, you want to buy some cocaine?
Yeah.
And they say,
well, that's
sure.
Right here.
And let me take you down to the station, and you can sell it to me there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you give me a lift, too?
Yeah. Yeah. Joe Sharkey said they're going to be stinging these students for selling these tickets, and I'm with you. This is crazy.
So this is insane.
We should have.
Well, it is amazing when anybody wants to make a nickel. Right away, the government has to put their big fat hand in. And this has to do with the hurricane, for instance. The profits were announced for the 3 or 4 major oil companies here in the United States. Chevron
and Exxon and Shell,
of course, is a
Dutch company.
That's a Dutch company, Dutch British actually. They've combined whatever, and their profits are up like 95%. Well, this guy Markey, whom I call Malarkey,
Markey Mark.
No, Representative Malarkey from Massachusetts,
yes.
Gets on. He's on C-SPAN on the morning show, and of course he's. Nothing comes out of his mouth that it's not either Bush's or the Republican fault. And that he always is constantly politicking. He's always on running. And he said that what we ought to do, he says, is that's unconscionable to have those profits. And what we need to do is to pass a special windfall tax.
A windfall profit.
We tried that. Of course, we had that once before. Special tax, because these are obscene profits need to go, and what we'd like to do is we'd like to take that money and apply it towards the relief effort. Of course, at the same time, Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska threatened to commit suicide or whatever he was going to do if somebody took away his $220 million bridge to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the other crapola senators, 83 to whatever it is, voted with him. Because why? Because they've got theirs of the 6,300 earmarked projects, right, which are the pork projects. They're all afraid that they might lose their thing. I mean, and
did
here's...
Did you hear that somebody wanted to cut Medicare by cutting out the $700 million that they allocate yearly for Viagra?
Yeah, and?
Well, I thought they just should, if they want to improve the New Orleans spirit, they should just send the Viagra.
Yeah, that's true. That's for free Viagra. That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
I send them a couple of cases of Jack Daniels, too. And you can, you don't worry.
Windfall profits,
well,
tax,
the thing,
man.
I mean,
where do these guys get off?
I mean, the thing about it is, what's interesting.
They get off on our money.
Let me tell you something.
Somebody has decided they can just take the property.
Right.
Where is that thing from Justice Sutherland that says, I cannot lay my finger on that portion of the Constitution that allows...
That's Madison.
Okay, Madison.
That's Madison. I cannot... But Justice Sutherland said the right to property... I mean, and unfortunately, I don't have it here. That quote, I think, is on our website, isn't it?
Oh, excellent.
Maybe it is.
I'm pretty sure it is. And I think Madison's quote is on there, too. So you check...
It basically says that I cannot lay my finger on that portion of the Constitution which allows the Congress to take property from one person and give it to another.
Right. And that was, and of course that went away with the New Deal.
Apparently.
And before that, actually. I mean, just they do that regularly, and it's gotten so bad that they'll even come. They literally will take your property. Literally, they will come in and say, your house now belongs to Walmart. And we just decide, that kind of thing. No, the windfall, what's interesting about windfall profits tax to me is that last year, because of the hurricanes, last year, the state of Florida received $3.5 billion extra dollars from sales taxes because of all the people that had to go out and buy plywood and generators and roofing stuff and so forth and so on that they wouldn't have had to buy otherwise. So the receipts to the state of Florida was a windfall. Literally, it was a windfall. They never. And did they think about giving it back? No. And how do you tax the tax? I don't know. But my point is, the government gets a windfall, and even that happened even here in the county, our local county got a 33% windfall, money they never expected to see because the housing prices boom hit this county like 6 months ago. It hit like over a weekend. I mean, literally, it was like a tidal wave that showed up here. We'd seen all the housing. You know, we hear about Marin County and Los Angeles and New York,
well,
and everything.
Those people have accepted the argument, the us and them argument, that the government are somehow better than the normal person. That
right.
is to say, the government is more generous, the government is more pious, and
noble.
They know what to do with the stuff better. They're wiser.
And it's interesting because it goes up the food chain. What they find out is that people somehow think that the county is wiser than the city, and the Tallahassee is wiser than we are down here.
The federal government's wiser.
And the federal government is the ultimate,
wisest. Yes.
Is the wisest
the
of all.
Penultimate wisdom.
Well, it's the ultimate wisdom. I mean, penultimate would indicate that there's something higher, yeah. and of course, that's God, but they play God. They play God all the time, and they think they are God. They think they can affect nature, and then when nature comes and smites them, as we've seen, I don't think it's going to happen. But we're now into Hurricane Gandalf or whatever.
Bilbo.
Hurricane. Bimbo. Right. What happens when they get to Hurricane Omega?
Right.
What do they do then? The Iranian alphabet? Or
crap themselves.
Yeah, I mean, so anyway, the point is that Hurricane...
crap themselves.
Hurricane Beta is up there, and I don't think it's going to hit New Orleans, but it would be just desserts. You know, God has walked in there with, first with Katrina,
mm-hmm.
and then when they didn't get the message that you're not supposed to build underwater... he sent Rita up there,
right?
Lovely Rita,
and now maybe he's going to send Beta up there and say, "Look,
there you go. That's what I was waiting for. Something to clear that out for."
Well,
me.
You need to get a sound effect that's the crack of lightning. I think
right.
Clap of thunder. Yeah. It's the clap of thunder that we need to get a hold of.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There you go. That's it. I mean, you've got to figure that New Orleans was like a mini Noah,
right?
You know, they told him to build the ark between Katrina and Rita, and they didn't. I mean, they should have built an ark and put two by two on the damn thing or whatever.
Yeah, just pick two humans out of that whole bunch and save the animals.
Exactly. That's right.
They're not too clever, it seems. Yeah, right. There you go. They're better company in most cases.
Well, it's interesting that they, of course, the blame game is always there. They blame Bush.
Senior.
Bush 43.
Bush, right.
You know, as if he could have. No, the three Bushes are on it. I mean, the three Bushes get the blame across the board. It doesn't matter what comes down the pike. It can be anything. And the president and our local governor here, they said, "Well, you should have done something." Like what?
Well, that's the old who's in charge. They have this thing like their government is in charge. And that they're in control. I saw where Bush made a little speech the other day, and he said, "We're going to do what the job that people expect us to do. I got to create jobs." And I was thinking,
that's my job.
You don't have to create any jobs. Just stay out of the way.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Just stay out of the way and let the prices rise, and let some of those poor people get $40 an hour for rebuilding New Orleans.
Right.
You know, let the private sector, you know, you worried about, they won't be poor long, especially if there's a shortage of labor. Believe me, they're going to.
They said that
they'll
right
bid
now,
the price up. They don't have to come up with one. And that Mary Landrieu or whatever, Landrieu of the body, whatever it is, she wants $200 billion. And I'm thinking, you think the entire budget for the state of Florida, the budget for the state of Florida is $70 billion. That's everything in the state of Florida, $70. She wants $250 billion for Louisiana. And Louisiana is like a peenanny state
right.
compared to Florida. Hello.
Right.
I mean, other than New Orleans, I mean, no offense, you people in Louisiana.
I got a quote here from this one. It was off that Florida thing, and this is the quote. This is like the third world, said this person, I won't mention their name, who spent several hours in a gas line. We live in a state where we suffer from these storms every year. Where's the planning?
Hey, how about, like, how about plan to move?
Yeah, there you go.
Or how about her own planning?
Right,
you know,
right.
Wouldn't she have planned a week ago? When
yeah, I mean, it, you know, again, this is, I understand, as you just mentioned, EJ, the thing is that in they have if you build on the fault line, expect to get smoked. And if you build on if build in Florida or Louisiana or, you know, the Gulf
anywhere
Coast,
along the Gulf
Coast, expect. But the nice thing about living on the Gulf is you got time.
Yes,
right.
I mean, with an earthquake, you got not even a nanosecond. You know, maybe you hear some dogs barking, and that's all you got.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, is this the dogs barking because
right? Because there's a
because it's the big one,
or is this the dog barking because the fault lines have just split apart and are about to slam back together?
So,
and here's another quote from this other person, I think this might have been Governor Bush. He says, while we have a historic amount of product coming to these places, it's not enough.
It's never enough.
It's never enough, right.
It's never
enough. And so that's the whole, I mean, you give them free product, you'll run out every time.
Well, like, as you say, you know, the people are talking about third world like they really know what third world's all about.
Now,
give me
right.
You know, you go one time.
Right.
You go.
Yeah. Go to Haiti and see what a third world is.
And that's in this hemisphere. You know, there's 2 billion people on this planet that literally, I mean, are thatched roof, mud floors.
Or less,
and they eat. You know, they don't know what meal they're going to get is coming from. I mean, give me a break.
But you know what?
I'm sorry. I only have a 4 gallon gas can. I need a 5.
Right.
I'm not going to have enough gas for my SUV.
Right. Exactly. If I only get 5 gallons, man, that's only going to get me home.
Yeah.
Well, as long as it takes you away from here, that's great, man.
Yeah. My Hummer. You know? I mean, how am I going to run my Hummer today?
Yeah.
Hum this, baby.
Well, yeah. My kid's got the 18 TV, he needs to stay busy. I mean, give him a rake and a shovel.
You know,
the
third world people do just fine in a hurricane because it's not like they lost anything anyway.
Well, that's true. That is some truth.
You know, I mean, they're still going to eat termites at night. You know,
of course, people are still dropping like flies in Pakistan.
What's that up to these days?
Oh, I don't.
Oh, it's 60,000 or something.
No, it surpassed 60 last week.
Oh, really?
79.
Yeah, 79,000 people.
You know, and
that's
of course,
more than
here,
we lost in Vietnam.
Well, exactly. Well, not only that, you think they had, 3 or 10 or something here in Florida, whatever it was? How many died?
10 so far.
Ten. And it's a calamity. I mean, calamity. It's the end of the world. And
they're lucky, man. They're going to get a Cat 5 up the gut down there in Miami.
Well,
it's
inevitable. When reality doesn't do it, of course, Hollywood will always come through. I watched that movie called The Day After
Tomorrow.
Yeah,
which is like the lefty movie from hell. I mean,
it could happen.
Yeah, it could happen. Right. I mean, I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, there is not. You know, the science, if you want to call it that, is such a joke.
Well, the scientist Art Bell wrote part of that script.
Oh, that's right. Art Bell, oh my God.
And we know how grounded he is.
Oh.
You know what? Actually, this is, oh God, I dare even mention this. On the Art Bell show the other day, actually it was a George Norrie show, but they had
you listen to this stuff?
Man, I actually have to sometimes. It's for these little moments that I get to chime in for a humorous moment here.
God.
But there's a guy on there who's absolutely out of his mind. His name's Richard C. Hoagland. Anyway.
A guy.
And he's a call-in guy. And anyway, he actually had a picture up on the Coast to Coast site that it was some aerial photography thing taken of Wilma. And he goes, notice these 2 lines like going through the hurricane. Somebody is using some kind of technology to try to steer the storm.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And, you know, he was absolutely convinced. He's trying to figure it out, you know, how this is.
They're onto him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
he's the only one, boy. He's got it, huh?
Oh,
no, there are several people who believe that.
Well, HARP is the big. That's their big the atmospheric thing, and of course, everybody's trying to ionize the atmosphere.
Well,
in that
movie, of course, The Day After Tomorrow, whatever it was, they had the fact that the temperature dropped to freeze the fuel lines and the people. in faster than you could than any freezer.
Flash
ever.
Freeze, right.
Flash freeze,
right.
Everything.
You could dip them in nitrogen. They would.
No, I mean, individually quick frozen. That's
well,
it.
I mean, I was still looking at this when they were showing this course come through. You know, why bother with science when you can have fun with this? But I'm thinking what the temperature would have to drop from whatever it was to literally to nitrogen.
Absolute zero.
I mean, the atmosphere would fall out of the atmosphere. I mean, the air would freeze. I mean, seriously. That's how cold it would have to be, it seems to me.
Yeah.
Air, you know, at the freezing point of oxygen and nitrogen would have been lower than that, and it would have, you know.
And you'd have to also increase the pressure, because if you didn't, cells would explode, and then you'd have, you know, big messes of frozen goo everywhere as well.
Well, it wouldn't be goo. It'd be frozen.
Well, frozen goo.
And then, yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Crystalline frozen goo.
When it unfreezes. Well, I mean, but it was interesting to me to see how the science. I was wondering, of course, what I was wondering about that was how did the guys in the space station get back? Or I guess they didn't.
You know, no, they were just up there floating around.
Yeah, I know, but I mean.
They can always come back. There's always a reentry vehicle
oh, yes.
up there.
If it
there
goes is. Up,
oh, there's
it will
all, yeah,
come
they,
down.
They keep us. They keep a always at all times a Russian. A re-entry vehicle that all...
I did not know that.
So, no. Yeah. They can bail at any time. It's just that the station will be unmanned. But they have a re-entry vehicle, part of the station, been up there the whole time.
I did not know that. Can you steer it?
You can steer it right down in its atmosphere.
No, but I mean...
You can steer the hurricane from
no,
up
but
there.
What
it's,
I mean
it's
is...
Like, it's basically, it's all it is, it's the re-entry part of the Soyuz spaceship.
But I mean, can you determine, like, for instance, the whole northern hemisphere, according to this movie, was frozen out. So I mean, like, you wouldn't. I did notice, of course.
Well, you just don't eject over the. I mean, the space station is not in geosynchronous. I mean, it's cranking along, you know, so you just wait for 35-40 minutes. And then
it was also in the movie, they did a thing where everybody was going to Mexico and the Mexicans closed out the
America. Closed the border.
Yeah.
Mexico put on the stinking Americans.
That's right, you stinking American, you come here.
Great.
Oh, yeah,
finally, some poetic justice. Incredible.
So,
yeah, when in doubt. Forget the science. I mean, there's so many things. Let me put it this way. When you talk about suspending belief for some of these movies, but I mean, you really had to go off. I mean, suspend everything, every piece of science known to.
Well, what was the one? What was the one recently about the core called? I guess it was the core.
It's the core.
A couple years ago.
And that one was even more suspending belief.
Really, you know, they drilled to the center of
the Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
Now, I got one thing about this ExxonMobil Shell profits record profits. Isn't this gouging? In other words, if let's say that they can't produce enough oil to sell to us. And so, in other words, they had record profits. So that must have mean that they did what?
They raised their prices.
Raise
the price. Right.
Okay, and that's not considered gouging?
Well, it is. That's the whole point. That's what Malarkey said.
But I'm just saying, in other words...
Malarkey said they're gouging us and we're going to take some of the money back.
Right. Well, I understand. But the thing is that it's just interesting that they're allowed to do it, and yet the guy down at the... you know, delivering the plywood isn't, you know, who wants to bring down there.
Well, you say that, but of course that's what Malarkey says, that they shouldn't be allowed to
well,
do.
Well, I'm not saying that you should. I'm just saying you should be allowed to gouge. I'm not saying that they're doing anything wrong.
I agree.
I'm just saying that it's no, there was nothing in this article, this two-page article, that said anything about that it was gouging.
That's because the norm is you can raise your prices to whatever you want.
Right, except for, you know, obviously in time of emergency, which, of course, this was.
Right,
you know,
well, like, for example, in this particular situation where Wilma came through, mm-hmm. Bush declared a state of emergency in the state of Florida. Therefore, it does several things. It freezes certain prices on, say, contracting, mm-hmm. but it does allow contractors from out of state to come in and work without a license.
That's true.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
But now, what about their pricing?
It's probably frozen as well.
So as they come in...
So they wouldn't come
and,
in.
Yeah.
Well, right. Why not?
I mean, yeah, exactly. Not, no, that's right.
That's why would they come in?
Yeah.
But they're working over there, wherever they're working. I mean, yeah, if you're out of work...
Maybe not,
But then you got to think about all the extra incurred costs. Your crew has to live in hotel rooms. You have to truck all of your equipment.
If you raise your price 5%, You know, well, that's not, that's not gouging. Sure you can.
Oh, no, no.
Who's to say you're gonna charging more?
What about frozen.
Yeah, but what about 6%? What about 7%? Okay. What about 8%?
7%, 8%.
What about 22%?
Okay, now we're getting to the point where it's probably noticeable, where you charge this man A, you know, $2,500 to replace this wall, and then you come to Florida and you charge him, you know, $5,000 to replace the wall.
And your point is?
That's 100%.
No, that's 100%. But, right. You know, I mean, you're saying, what about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10?
But the guy who has the wall that needs replacing doesn't have to replace it.
He has to replace it, but he doesn't have to go through that person to replace it.
He can get, like, I can tell you, I'm having a roof put on this house as we speak, and you talk about price gouging. I had to pay it. I mean, because shingles are, like,
but
unavailable.
But you're just saying you don't have to pay it.
No, but you do. But, well, I do, or else the roof is going to come through.
Ah, so you do have to replace it.
Well, the other thing that they do, of course, the other little minor problem that you've got is, on the other end of the stick, is when they condemn your house and they say you've got 30 days to fix it, or else we're going to tear it down. That's the big deal. They're talking about tearing, literally, yeah, bulldozing 50,000 homes in the New Orleans area. Yep. 50,000 homes, bulldozing. And there are people that are sitting there.
Yeah, there you go. It should probably be a few more than that, to be honest with you, but, you know. And they should just replace them with houses that meet, you know, standard modern.
What do you mean they?
They being the individuals that are regulating the construction of the homes and those that are building the homes, as well as those who are.
But, of course, a lot, as they also mentioned there, that many, the majority of the homes were not insured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they got no money,
right?
So they're out. I mean, they're just out. OUT out. And of course, with, I don't know if you've looked recently, but in the last 6, 8, 10 months, housing prices and construction and everything else has gone through the ceiling. And a house that you
but bought, that's okay.
No,
because
no.
That's the market forces just making things happen the way it's supposed to happen.
Right. No question. No mm-hmm. question.
Okay.
But
then.
My point is, here's a guy that's been living in a house. He paid $30,000 for it, you know, 25 years ago. Today, in order to replace that house, it's going to cost him $250,000. And of course, he had no insurance.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. Right. Of course,
mm-hmm.
not, because he was. It was a choice between, you know, insurance, medication, or dog food to eat. Right.
Or mm-hmm. not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's. But I mean, what about the guy who just decided didn't want it anyway?
Oh, then he doesn't get it.
Well, but I mean, who are you to make that determination? Let me tell you, along these same lines.
My name is Market.
Okay, and the market. This it is fascinating to me to think about this, the fact that they talk about these oil companies doing all the gouging, and of course they're competing with among one another. In other words, any of those oil companies could have lowered their price in order to get more market share, but they couldn't because their raw materials costs, their refining costs, and everything else were going up across the board.
The night that the hurricane hit, the prices of gasoline rose. Before there was a drop of, you know, newly refined petroleum distillate in any of these gas stations, the prices had gone up.
Right, and your point is?
That was just a curiosity to me.
I don't think so. I'll tell you what it is. Here's the deal. You're in the gasoline business, and somebody has phoned you up and said, by the way, the next tank that we deliver is going to be twice as much money. And you say, whoa, what, hello? Well, I mean, if the next tank is, how am I going to pay for that? Well, you have to pay for it when the guy shows up. You better raise the price on the stuff you got now in order to pay for that next tank that's coming down the pike. And it works the other way around. We saw gas prices. People forget. In the last 2 years ago, gas prices, I don't know if you remember this, but I mean, gas prices were $2.50. I don't know, it was 4 or 5 years ago. And they went down to 99 cents. Well,
yep.
You know, the guy called up and said, your next tank will be half what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the price that day dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. And people just focus on what is happening today. Some people will say, well, they didn't drop the price. They made all that money. Well, you didn't have to buy the gas. You could look at the futures market and see what was happening 5 years ago when the price was $2.50. It was up to $2.50 about 5 years ago.
Well, and
it spiked up, and then it went down to, I don't know if you remember this, but just a couple of years ago, it was 99 cents a gallon.
Right.
Well, last year it was a dollar cheaper.
My favorite one is the market correction during the 70s for the big gas hike back then. You saw overnight everybody was trading their Cadillacs for Hondas straight up.
In other words,
the market changed because the fact of the price of the gas is. And I just saw a report the other day, hybrid sales at a record high.
Right.
You know, because people are like, screw this. If you're going to play God with my oil prices, watch me. I'm going to buy a hybrid next time. And then that way I won't have to deal with I want to play your little game anymore.
And of course, one of the things.
And then in the end run, the oil companies lose out because I mean, for them, because now they've raised those prices. They've forced a market correction. These people aren't going to go around and turn and sell their hybrids the next day.
Nope.
Now, they may end up buying a new car if they drop their prices way down. They might buy that 60s, you know, muscle car they had their eye on
right.
in Hemmings. But, I mean, that's going to be down the road. You know, it's going to take them some time to get back.
You have brought up an extremely valid point here, and that is this is one of the differences between the market and governments. Very often when a problem shows up, the government says, oh, we got a problem, and they want to fix it today.
Today.
The market will fix it.
Right.
It sometimes takes a little longer,
right.
but it is a fix that works,
mm-hmm.
and it's permanent.
Right.
The problem is when a government steps in and distorts the market.
It's a Band-Aid that doesn't
Band-Aid,
work.
And then, of course, the market doesn't have time to correct the way it's supposed to.
Right.
And things get screwed up totally. So they need to just stay out of the way. Most of the time, they need to stay out of the way. And this guy Malarkey is sitting there saying that he's going to fix things, and of course it's always the Republicans' fault and it's the Bush's fault. He can't issue a sentence without saying that it's only the Republicans. All the Republicans. Well, I mean, it's
he's like an idiot savant, and like every word that comes out of his mouth is Bush.
Yeah, that's right.
He started Bush's fault.
Idiot savant without the savant.
Right.
Well, problem to me.
Or Tourette's syndrome. That's what I meant to say.
Oh,
he's got Tourette's it's like, you know, it's Bush's fault. Bush's fault.
Yeah. All right.
How
you doing today?
I mean, it was when I watched this thing, or I heard about it. I didn't actually watch it, but I heard about what he was on the morning talk-in show, call-in show on C-SPAN, and I read the transcript, and it was so interesting that the fact that he mentioned the Republicans was so out of context. I mean, it's one thing to say you got a problem here, but to keep mentioning this, you know, keep coming back to this campaign. He was campaigning all the time, is what he was doing.
That's what they do perpetually.
I know that, but to me, it is sometimes beyond the pale. I don't care on what side you're. I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican. I mean, they both do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
their job.
I understand that, and of course, it costs me money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really.
That's happy. Bad.
And that's
bad. Bad.
Okay. Campaigning.
Bad. Bad. All right. Well, you want to beat up any more on the hurricanes?
No, we pretty much
beat up on the
hurricanes. It is a systemic problem where they cannot fail to spend the money. And again, the thing that comes that brought this home so clearly was when they had a chance, perfectly chance, to take the obvious and announced and recognized pork out of the budget for hurricane relief. They refuse to do it. They just can't. They can't let go.
They talk about it.
But to see, I remind me a little bit of Sam Gibbons when Newt came into power 10 years ago, and they basically and he'd been in power for 30 years. And he couldn't accept it. He couldn't conceive, and he flew off the deep end. And this with this, and he just, you guys are just, and he couldn't believe that he couldn't accept the fact that he had been
debunked
or had been put out of power. And he was screaming about that the nasty Republicans had done all this nasty stuff when, in fact, for 30 years, of course, they had relegated the Republicans to some second-class citizen. And when it got turned around, he couldn't stand it. Same thing with Ted Stevens. He's sitting here. Anybody, except for Ted Stevens and Murlowski or whatever her name is. I think she's the other senator from Alaska. And she said, well, no, we need this stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, Alaska gets... They have no sales tax up there. They have no income tax in Alaska. And every Alaska Native gets a check.
But it's so cold.
And,
you know, everybody gripes about their money stuff. I noticed in Trenton, New Jersey, the first state subsidy to help doctors worst hit by rising medical malpractice premiums. A state subsidy for doctors.
Yeah. A subsidy, that's from the taxpayers.
In order,
right. You're going to pay for medical care one way or the other. Either you pay it in your taxes or you pay the doctor directly.
But it's just kind of funny.
Paying it in every way?
Yeah.
Everybody talks about doctors. I mean, here they are. They're rich, whatever. And here we have a doctor subsidy. It's not a farmer subsidy.
Well, that's right. They have the rich farmer.
We need
a
Jimmy Doan subsidy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you can go donate. No, the thing.
Can we get our share?
You did. Yeah. You did see where Donald Trump was getting a subsidy.
For hair?
No, not for hair. Although he should probably. I mean, that's kind of a trademark. You know, it's funny when you have a trademark that's like the wart on your nose.
Right.
I mean, you look at... You know, I mean, seriously, you know, Barbara Streisand, I mean, you know, how would you like
Cindy
to get
Cindy Crawford Smole.
More Hutton's gap and teeth.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, she's sexy.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, you know, get it fixed? I don't think so. Mm. So, yeah, the subsidy.
But Trump get the subsidy? What does he get money for?
He gets a subsidy because he's having trouble in Atlantic City. I mean, I forget what it is, but he wanted it.
That's like Wayne Huizenga when he got $64 million to build this stadium down in Miami.
Exactly. I mean, hello.
They bought the entire team, won the World Series, and sliced and diced it.
Yes, right.
The team looked
off his good players.
Yeah, the players. I have a T-shirt with all the players on them. They're all over the league.
Yeah,
I mean, there wasn't one guy. There was one guy on there 2 years later.
Well, this is one place where I do agree with some of the socialists, or I guess people that are always talking about corporate welfare. But you have to ask yourself, you know, where does it? You know, who does that stuff? It's your guys in power that pass those laws. I mean, if they would just stay home.
Right.
If they just stay. In the old days, here in Florida, for instance, the legislature used to meet for, I think, 1 month every 2 years. It might have been 2 months every 2 years. Yeah, and it met, in the summertime. And there was no air conditioning up there in those days. And that's why they hoofed it out. Oh, it did. And I'm not saying we were, you know.
Yeah, it ought to be mandatory that they stand outside in the sun or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, somebody to flip off the old air conditioner up there and see how long they stay.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I think it was Thomas Jefferson said, or there should be a plaque above the legislature, every legislature in the United States that says, no man's life, liberty, or property is safe while the legislature's in session.
Yeah, they should all wear T-shirts.
Yes.
Yes.
With Jimmy Doan on the back.
Yeah.
Hey, and Target's on the front.
Target's on the front. Hey, who is the Citizens Property Insurance Corp?
Oh, that's the big one in...
It's a quasi-state-run insurance plan.
Ooh, here in Florida?
Yeah. It says, as a result of the storms, private insurance companies are likely to raise homeowner insurance rates in the double-digit percentages.
Insurers,
while the
quasi-state-run
insurance plan, Citizens Property Insurance Corp., might have to increase premiums even more, Hartwig said. And we already pay 33% more than the national average in Florida for homeowners insurance. On average, we pay $786.
Yeah, of course, the fact is that they don't. Well, they do have tornadoes in Nebraska, but I mean, it's a farmland. You know,
we have tornadoes here too.
Yeah, you know, I know, but my point is, we got 18 million people in Florida, and I would imagine that as we've seen, the devastation from just one hurricane is just billions and billions.
And there's lots of flooding in, wherever there are rivers, you have floodplains.
But you're
not in Nebraska.
Aren't you required in Florida to have homeowners insurance?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Actually, you're not. The only people that require it are the mortgage holders.
Oh, okay.
If you have a loan on your house, you're required.
You're required.
You have to, because they want to be paid. They require, but that's a private thing.
Right, that's a private thing.
And yeah, that's...
Okay.
I always find it interesting. You mentioned something that comes out every once in a while, and that is they always talk about the average, this and the average. Well, think about it. We're higher than the average, but then the average is – there's also people, obviously, that are lower. I mean, average is an average.
Right.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean anything. So what?
Kills me when they compare it. The other say, well, we're 49th in XYZ. Well, who cares how you compare?
Yeah.
I mean, and this education guy was talking about Florida schools, and he said, well, we compared ourselves with the other schools to determine what was wrong. I'm like, what? How does
what does that have to do? What does their being wrong have to do with your being wrong?
Well, the other thing is,
the problems and fix them.
The problem you've got is, let me tell you, if from a mathematical standpoint, if you take, let's say you arbitrarily find a way to lower the housing insurance or whatever to the average. By doing that, the average drops. So you still won't be there.
Ta-da.
Do the math. Do the math.
Ta-da.
Do the math.
Wow.
Ta-da. I mean, the fact
you
is the average.
The average.
You would change the average by lowering your premiums. You would
never be able to catch up with the average.
No, you could catch up. You could certainly go below average. But my point is that people talk about the average as if this is some kind of holy grail.
Yeah.
And in order for an average, there have to be some people above it, and there have to be some people below it. So, and your point is,
and who cares
so
if
what?
You're last, if your stuff is good?
Yeah.
It's like, they talk about, people keep talking about the different, I know this is kind of off tangent, but people keep talking
Wait, you're going to digress?
Just for one sentence.
Okay.
People talk about the gap between the poor and the rich increasing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then they say the poor are getting poorer.
I don't.
It's like, no. The poor are not getting poorer.
No.
The poor are getting richer. The gap is increasing because the rich are getting even richer faster.
Look, again, this is called fourth grade math, okay?
Right.
If everybody's prices, if everybody's wages double, the gap has gone through the ceiling.
Right.
No, think about it. If you make $100,000 a year and another guy makes $20,000 a year and everybody's doubles, the guy's making $40,000 and the other guy's making $200,000, the gap has gone up. The gap is doubled.
From 80 to 160.
80 to 160. And you're going to sit there and say this guy who's now making $40,000 is worse off?
Is poorer.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. No, sorry. It doesn't work that way. And, of course, the gap is, to me, the gap is a lot like profits in a way in that it tells you where you need to be. I mean, now if you want to get rich, you want to get $200,000 a year, you have something to strive for. If there is no gap, if the playing field is perfectly level, then why would you do anything? I mean, the mountains are there for a reason, to climb them. You know, you don't make any progress by walking across the plain. You make progress by climbing up the mountain. That's Jimmy's little thing for the day. Excuse me.
Okay.
Next, are we done? Are we? Oh no, sex offenders. No, we already did sex.
Oh no, we got to hit on that a little bit more. There's like some good stuff to do in that.
Okay, good.